Shalom and Yeshua, welcome back. This is part two of my teaching, Women of Valor, a guide for women in ministry, knowing your calling and your gifts. I'm going to pull back up the PowerPoint notes here. And this will actually be session six. The one I did prior was session one, and this is session six, which is the last session. Again, I was sharing that I remembered to record everybody else's teaching, but I forgot to record mine. But again, it turned out to be a blessing because I was only doing one session. So Dina and Priscilla would be able to share all they had to share, and due to time restrictions. So it turned out to be a blessing because now I can share more detail and the complete teaching that, you know, I wanted to teach. So here, you know, even though something seemed to be, you know, a blunder, God turned it around to a blessing. So hallelujah. So we're in part two now, again, regarding women in ministry. And I'm going to be reading from these scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, 3-8. And I'm going to pull up, share the my e-sword here so you can actually see the scriptures. This is the Tree of Life version. Again, eSword is a great tool. You can get all different kinds of Bible translations. There's a lot of free Bible software online as well. Take advantage of it. It'll help you greatly in teaching the Word of God. So 1 Corinthians 12, I didn't get a chance to read these before, but I'm going to open up this part two session with it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters. So here he just, you know, here Paul is not just, you know, referring this to the brothers, but he's referring the spiritual gifts to brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed by idols that cannot speak, and you got led astray. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Ruach Elohim says, Yeshua be cursed. And no one can say Yeshua is Lord except by the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, there are various kinds of gifts, but the same Ruach. There are various kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are various kinds of working, but the same God who works all things in all people. Again, all people, men and women. But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach for the benefit of all. So again, all these gifts are for the benefit of all. I always tell people, your gifts are not for you. Your gifts are for somebody else. For to one who is given through the Ruach a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge, and according to the same Ruach, to another faith by the same Ruach, to another gifts of healings by the one Ruach, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Ruach activates all these things, distributing to each person as he wills. So again, we need to know, what are the gifts that the Ruach has given us? Again, to each person. He didn't say to each man. He said to each person, which includes men and women. Excuse me. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For in one Ruach, we are all immersed into one body, whether Jewish or Greek, slave or free. And all were made to drink of one Ruach. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, since I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is there therefore not part of the body? I just want to check here, make sure I'm recording here. Okay, good. I have a habit of forgetting to do that. Okay. And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is this reason any part is it for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot tell the hand, I don't need you, or in turn, the head to the feet, I don't need you. Again, women are needed. They are an important part of the body. Each ministry the Father has called you to is an important part of the body, and you are needed. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be less important are indispensable. Those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no such need. Rather, God assembled the body, giving more honor to those who are lacking, so that there may be no division in the body, but so that the parts may have the same care for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer together. If one part is honored, all the parts rejoice together. Again, we need one another. Now you are the body of Messiah and members individually. God has put his community, first emissaries, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, healings, helps, leadership, various kinds of tongues. Again, these are all different ministries that are needed that he put men and women in the body. All are not emissaries, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All do not work miracles, do they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and still I will show you a far better way. And he's showing that the gift of love, 13, is the greatest gift, because it is a gift that all these ministries should be functioning by. And according to when he's saying all should not speak in tongues, this is regarding giving a word in tongues to the congregation, but there has to be someone to interpret what is being said by the Ruach as well. Again, these are important gifts that still function in the body. And again, the book I sent you, Spiritual Gifts from Messiah, go into more detail on these gifts. Next is Romans 12, 3-8. Let's begin from the beginning. Oops, Romans 12, sorry, wrong verse there. There we go. For through the grace given me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think, but to use sound judgment as God has assigned to each person a measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all parts do not have the same function, so we who are many, as one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another, we have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, or on one who teaches in his teaching, or on the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives in generosity, the one who leads with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I'm going to go back to the PowerPoint here. So again, these ministry gifts include men as women as well, but unfortunately through church history, that women have been held back from using what God has called them to do, to use, but that is changing now, because we are living in a time that we need every part of the body to be functioning in what the Father has called them to do. This is a little mem I thought regarding ministry as listening when you'd rather fix the problem. You know, that is so important. We need to learn to be a listener. So many times people are talking and we're thinking about our answer. We're thinking about what the next thing is to say instead of listening to what they are saying and listening to the heart. We would rather, bring the quick fix instead of listening to the Ruach and how to minister. Searching for the joy when it's easier to say it's not fair. In other words, rejoicing always, even when we're going through hard times, not complaining, not having a pity party, helping when you feel like you're the one that needs the help. Again, going beyond your needs to meet the needs of others. Telling God, use me when you rather ask to be rescued. Again, being a willing vessel. Encouraging when you don't understand the Father's reasoning. Hugging when it feels awkward. Saying, let's pray right now, instead of, I'll pray for you. Serving when you doubt you have anything left to give. Comforting by being the flicker of light in others' dark caverns. So what is the vision, the mission that Adonai has given you? That is something that we each have the responsibility to find out and to get before the Father and ask him, Father, what have you called me to do? Hineni, send me. I am giving myself to you and doing whatever you have called me to do, being willing to sacrifice and prepare and be the best vessel that I can be for your kingdom and your glory. Again, Father has a vision or a mission for every single one of our ministries. And it's important to write that vision down as the Ruach is revealing it to you. Sorry here. I apologize for all this coughing, but I'm doing this early in the morning. So... And plus talking a lot doesn't help, but writing that vision down, you know, I've always been practiced this and encouraged people this. Again, we see that in Habakkuk where the Father exhorted him to write the vision down that he had given him for the people, the exhortation that he has given him as a prophet. And, you know, I want to touch on something again regarding prophet. That I tell my people all the time, the ministry of the prophet, they were not out there to make a name for themselves. They were not out there to bring glory to themselves. The mission of the prophet was to speak exactly what the Father told them to speak, no more and no less, was to bring them to repentance, because that's the majority of time that they were called to do, was bring Israel to repentance because they have strayed away from the Torah and from and entered into a pagan practice, to tell them if they repented, or, you know, again, calling them to repentance. If they didn't repent, this is what's going to happen. If they do repent, God will withhold his judgment from them. But the majority that happened is they refused to repent. I mean, God always had a remnant within. We see that with Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah, who all went into the Babylonian captivity. But the Father did that on purpose so that there would be lights in the darkness. And so Judah would not forget who they were and what their calling was. But the majority refused to repent and judgment came. Again, a prophet is not called to tickle people's ears. A prophet is called to bring a person to repentance and confront them with their sin, share the mercy of God and his forgiveness, but tell them, hey, if you don't repent, this is what's going to happen. I just thought I'd add that in as a side note there. So again, we need to write our vision down. This is the vision for our ministry. Again, Deborah's Messianic Ministry is the hub in which the other spokes of our ministry come from. So we have, again, our congregation, the Way of Messiah Congregation, DMM publications where our books come forth from, the Judaic Study Institute for teaching and training. Again, these were things that were developed along the way till we finally had everything in place. And so people know that we have, you know, this is our vision, this is our goal, this is our purpose that the Father brought us. Our first purpose is contact meeting. How do we contact people in our area? How do we reach people from Messiah? What are different ways we can do this? Now that it's warmer, once or twice a month, we have Shabbat in the park. We actually bring our Shabbat fellowship out to the local park where the people are. We pray, you know, praise and worship, teaching of the word and sharing. We did this one time. A woman was listening to me teach. She brought her children to the park and she just kind of stood there and hung around and, you know, I kind of noticed her from the corner of my eye, but I thought, hey, great, somebody else is listening. And afterwards, she came up to me and she said, you know, I don't know why I came to this park. I've never been to this park, but I really felt I needed to come here. And why? Because the Spirit of God, because she was seeking, brought her there, and we were able to minister to her and bring her to share the love of Messiah, give her some books, pray with her. She was in a sounded like a bad relationship. And again, we did follow up, but she never contacted again. But that's okay. We planted seeds. The Father knows who she is and where she is. But that's an example of going out to where the people are. We can't expect people to be knocking on our doors and saying, you know, hey, teach me the Torah, teach me about Messiah. We need to go out where they're at. Disciple making. Father has called us to be disciple makers. Again, your vision may be different. It may be different for your children's ministry, your youth, women, whatever the Father has called you to. But now it's okay, how do we make disciples? I attended several classes by Sam Naylor, which are excellent on developing a healthy messianic congregation for leaders. And I attended it three times because, you know, and he kind of laughed, you know, I says, well, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing things correctly. And he's an experienced leader, has a successful congregation, and it's, you know, and he has a lot of wisdom and insight to share. So I learned a lot. We learned a lot from this. And again, the importance of discipleship. How do we disciple? Well, some ways are through Shabbat school, Torah study, new believers, children, youth and young. We need programs for them. Our programs developed into the Judaic Studies Institute, became a part of the Judaic Studies Institute, and also our Messianic Discipleship Program. Again, this came along little by little. Shabbat service. It's important for, you know, again, we disciple through our Shabbat service, through teaching, through our weekly celebration for celebrating the feast. I always tell people, you learn about the feast by doing the feasts. Every time you participate, every time you do them, you are learning more about your relationship with the Father and his relationship to us. Local Havra groups. We haven't started that yet because we need people trained. We need to know that people are faithful and committed to this ministry. But these are local, again, Bible studies to reach people in our area. And for the purpose is to bring them into the congregation because they need to be a part of the congregation. And also, really, the majority of the people in our congregation are from a Spanish background. So, and we, you know, we are a multi-ethnic congregation. And we always told, you know, when the Father first called us, he says, Father, I don't want to be an all-white congregation because that's not what your body is apart. Your body is Joseph's coat of many colors, you know, from every shape, every size, every ethnicity. We are all one in Messiah and we learn from one another. And so, you know, that's our heart for the ministry. And we've had prophetic words confirming these things that we've just waited for God's timing. Membership making, it's important for you. There's a really good book by Rabbi and Trader. He's actually from Israel, Asher and Trader. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name exactly, but it's called Covenant Relationships. And we use this book as well in discipling. It's a handbook for integrity and loyalty. It's important to be a part, no matter what type of ministry you have, of a local community for the purpose of accountability, for the purpose of support, and for the purpose of keeping you, again, within the focus of God's word and not straying away. To have some people that can pray for you, people that you can go to and share with, especially your rabbi or your pastor. We have membership classes. Again, when people want to be members, we have classes. Okay, this would entail being a part of the member of this community as part of the body of Messiah. And then developing the ministry of helps within the community. And then ultimately, we want to help people function in their leadership calling. In all ways, we're all called to be leaders in what God's called us to do. So our function is to help you develop your leadership within the ministry God has called you to. Again, there is order in the body of Messiah. You see that all through scripture. There's even order in the angelic realm. There's order in heaven. There's order in everything that God does. And so some of those positions are a service of shamash or a deacon. Again, men or women can function as deacons. Elders within the community, helping to plant new congregations and new ministries. Again, this is a huge vision and that the Father has put in our heart. And we're seeing after over 25 years, about two-thirds of this ministry coming to pass. And the Judaic Studies Institute is a big part of this leader making. And again, you need to seek the Father in what he has called you to do. And being faithful, not being a lone ranger. You know, there's such a spirit of rebellion in the body of Messiah. I see this especially in people coming into the Messianic movement with pull scriptures out of context and, you know, saying that, well, I don't need anybody to teach me. I can teach myself. I can study myself. Well, then you're going contrary to the word because everybody needs somebody to teach them. We learn from one another. I've learned from things Priscilla taught. I learned from things Adina Dye taught. I learned from other, you know, other ministries, you know, that encourage me and help me to grow and develop more. God is that, that's what the enemy, he wants, he loves to, again, to divide and conquer, to get you off, to isolate you, get you off by yourself, telling you, you don't need anybody else. You don't need anybody to help you. You don't need any pastor or rabbi over you to tell you what to do. Well, that's not our job. Our job is not to tell you what to do. Our job is to tell you what the word says and to be a doer of the word and to fulfill your call. But he's a liar and he contorts the word and he lies to you. And the most dangerous place to be is in the place of isolation. You need to be connected with some kind of congregation. Again, the best, I believe that we need to be, you know, if you have no local congregation, you know, it's, you can connect online, but being online is not the Father's best. It's really second best, in my opinion. The best is to be a part of a local congregation. And again, as I shared, unfortunately, there have been many people that have tried to set up local congregations, either as a plant or as a leadership, and they fail because people refuse to walk in order. They refuse to walk in their gifts. They think that they can do it all by themselves. And if you have that attitude, then you are outside the will of God. You are outside the word of God. So six steps to be an excellent woman of Adonai in ministry and in Messiah Yeshua. And this is so important because everything we do, our attitude should not be to make a name for ourselves, but to, again, build up the kingdom, see the kingdom of Yahweh grow with souls being saved and discipled, and to, again, that he gets all the glory and the honor. And again, even if people compliment on our teachings, you know, if they're any good, it's because we're teaching the word, and it's because of the anointing of the Ruach, and it's because the Father gave us the gift. I mean, we appreciate being encouraged. We appreciate being appreciated. But we also have to guard against pride and taking credit because we can't take any credit. You know, we are just simply submitting to God's call, the Father's call upon our life and being faithful ministers of what he has given us for his kingdom and his glory. That is the ultimate purpose. When we stand before the Father, we will receive our rewards from him, not from men. And again, as I said, it's been my experience, people are very fickle. One day, you know, they'll be extolling your praises, how wonderful and great you are. And the next day, they'll be turning against you and slandering your name. So don't be looking for the accolades of men. Just be looking to be faithful in what the Father has called you to do as part of the body of Messiah. Just as Paul pointed out in Romans 12, 3-8. And 1 Corinthians 12. So again, we are called to be a ministry of excellence, again, for his kingdom and glory. Whether the Father has called you to be a pastor or a first-rate engineer or, you know, doctor, lawyer, whatever, we looked at all those different areas that the Father can call you to function in. If you are, again, a born-again believer of God, again, that term born-again is a very Jewish term. It's not something that the Christians thought about. It's a very Jewish term. You read that in the writings of the rabbis. God has a purpose for your life that will further the kingdom of God. Again, that is the ultimate purpose, to further the kingdom of God. He strategically places his people all over the world, not only in pulpits and on mission fields, but in homes, offices, schools, and in the marketplace. Again, where you are and where he has placed you is no mistake. Our ministry is in the Chicago area, probably one of the highest crime rate areas in the nation. I think it's in the top three there, if not number one. They have more gun shooting deaths, I think, than anybody else. Yet there are pastors that have been called to be in the midst of the battle. And I like one thing that I read years and years and years ago. The safest place out of God's will is the most dangerous place. The most dangerous place in God's will is the safest place. You know, I'm sure all of us would love to be in Hawaii and have a ministry in Hawaii. But you know what? We need to be faithful where we've been planted, where the Father has called us to be. And as pastors, we just can't get up and say, well, I don't feel like doing this anymore. You know, I'm not going to do it. We have been faithful no matter what. There's times where we are congregation, the pews were full. There's times where I was only talking to one person, but I was seeing many in my heart. We need to be faithful no matter what, especially in the area. If you plant a congregation, you better be sure that the Father has called you to do that, and you're going to remain faithful to do what he has called you to do. But to succeed in ministry, it isn't as simple as heeding the call. The effective and fulfillment of God's purpose for your ministry, and you need to get on the road of excellence, run the race, and obtain the prize. Again, always for his kingdom and his glory. The ministry of Yeshua was one of excellence. His whole purpose was to do the will of the Father, to speak only what the Father told him to speak, to show, manifest the love of the Father through him, again, revealing the Father, knowing where he was heading and submitting himself totally to die in our place. But hallelujah, he didn't stay dead. He rose again, and he is living, hallelujah, forevermore. Once you know your calling to follow Yeshua's example, you must pursue excellence in every aspect of your life and ministry. And that goes for learning and biblical training. You never stop learning. You never stop thinking that, well, I've read through this word, you know, one or two times. I know all I need to know. No, you need to read through this word faithfully. You need to study the word faithfully. You need to, again, be a student of the word so that, you know, I'll share with people how you're going to know that somebody is teaching you the truth if you don't know what the truth is. You are going to be deceived. You are on the road to falling off the cliff. We need to know this word so whatever somebody is teaching, we can go back to the word and say, yep, that's in agreement with the word. You know, sometimes we have, if it's just like an opinion of mine, you know, concerning, you know, maybe a practice of something, I'll say, this is my personal opinion. This is my personal interpretation, but it should be in line with the word of God. Everything we do and teach should be in line with the word of God. I always give my notes, all our notes from our Shabbat teaching, all our classes, people have access to the notes. There's some ministers, they won't share their notes with anybody. And it's like, no, I share my notes so you can continue to study and learn and see, you know, in line with the word of the Father. It's his word. We cannot be, personally, this is my opinion, covetous of what the Father has given us. He has given us the ability of what we have to share with others. What is excellence? The root of the word excellent is to excel, which means to rise to the highest place or to pass in accomplishments or achievement, to be distinguishable by superiority. Excellence does everything with the highest quality and integrity. It is never subpar or mediocre in any way. Excellence stands above the rest. Again, not so we can get the applause of men, but so we can bring glory to the Father. In ministry, a spirit of excellence is a desire to reach toward the Almighty, Yahweh Elohim, rather than get something from Yahweh Elohim. That's why a ministry of excellence will never promote itself or force success. It allows the gospel or the word of Yahweh to do the promoting. Again, if you look in the book of Acts, it was after they taught the word that the signs and wonders followed. Again, ministry of excellence. A ministry of excellence is a ministry that does not plan to fail. It does not plan to give up. You know, you may feel like giving up sometimes, but you don't give in to giving up. Whatever you have been called to, whether it be fivefold ministry or the work of the ministry within the body of Messiah, you are responsible for how you handle your calling, for how you are obedient to your calling. To do that, you must be dedicated to excellence in every area of your ministry and dedicated to success. In other words, fulfilling that race, that calling upon your life, and not giving up, not allowing the enemy to stop you, because the only one that can stop you is you. When you stand before the judgment seat of Messiah, it will be in the light of your calling, not what you did, not what you meant to do or wished you had done, but what Adonai said you were appointed to do. This applies not only to the fivefold ministry, but to every member of the Messiah's body. In other words, we will stand before Messiah responsible for answering that calling and not giving excuses like, well, you know, they didn't like me, or no, I don't have the ability, I don't have the money, I don't, instead of trusting him to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory, which means financial, spiritually, opening the doors, giving you favor, trusting him, and just being faithful no matter what it looks like. We're going to be judged by our faithfulness, not how many thousands of people we've reached, not how many books we sold, not how many Facebook followers we had, but being faithful to what he called us to do no matter what the situation. Even if our whole ministry is just ministering to one person and discipling one person. Number two, having singleness of purpose. What does it mean to have singleness of purpose? It means to be single-minded and driven in one direction. If you drive a car without a single destination in mind, you'll be zigzagging and driving in circles. You won't get anywhere. But when you have singleness of purpose, everything you do will drive you in that one direction. Again, that's why it's important to write that vision down that the Father has called you. And he will be the one that will drop in your spirit what to do and how to do it. Again, and following that purpose, staying on the narrow road of the word and our faith in Messiah Yeshua. What is your single purpose as a minister of Adonai? To meet the needs of people. Every single one of us, no matter what our ministry is to meet the needs of people. Many individuals and ministries often lose sight of this purpose. They get distracted with the number of people responding to them, the budget, the projects, or the publicity. They don't mean to, but sooner or later, they forget their purpose to meet the needs of the people. In other words, they get caught up in their own importance. They get caught up in their own, quote, celebrity status. Again, God has not called us to be celebrities. He has called us to be servants, and we need to stop putting people on thrones, because the only one that belongs in that throne is Yeshua, the Messiah. Yes, we can appreciate one another's abilities and gifts and learn from one another, but we are never to lift up or raise somebody above Yeshua, because we are all his servants. Everything we need to do is for his kingdom and the building up of the kingdom. We find in James 1:6-8 why singleness-mindedness is so important. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Now, there one day, you know, you're all enthusiastic on what God's called you to do. And the next day, you know, it's like, well, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You're just like back and forth and you're never accomplishing anything. You're never faithful to that purpose. We need to stop being tossed back and forth. He goes on to say as well, by every wind of doctrine, by being distracted. One of the big distractions I see is social media. Yes, the Father uses social media for his kingdom, but it also can be a distraction. We are just, when we are distracted by people who are arguing about how to pronounce the Father's name, Yeshua's name, arguing again about the gifts, arguing about, you know, things that are minute and don't matter, arguing, well, you know, who, what your position is in the body or what tribe you're from. You know, these are distractions, and we get caught up in these arguments. We get caught up, you know, I see it on Facebook all the time, and I don't get involved in it, in any of it. Say, hey, that's their opinion. You know, fine. They have to answer to their opinion before the Father. I don't agree with it, but I'm not wasting my time getting into this argument. You know, I'm just focused on what the Father has called us to do. Again, these can be distractions, pulling you away from your purpose and your calling. We need to avoid these distractions and be discerning. Step number three, follow the leadership of the Ruach HaKodesh. We all have the Ruach HaKodesh within us to lead us and guide us, to keep us from going onto the wrong path, to staying on the right path that he has called us to. The path to excellence in life and in ministry is always the same. Follow the leadership of the Ruach HaKodesh. Let's face it, your mind likes to do a lot of its own planning. But if you lean on your own understanding, it's only a matter of time before you fall flat. You know, the Ruach always brings a scripture back to me. It's Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, the labor labors in vain. Unless the Lord guards a city, the one who's guarding it is guarding in vain. He has to be the one who builds our ministry, not our flesh. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh to guide you, instruct you, and keep you on the path to excellence. A person who desires a ministry of excellence should pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, and pray the Word. There's two people, way we teach people. You pray in the Spirit, which is, again, it's a gift to pray the perfect will of the Father. And as you grow, you'll even learn to interpret what you're praying and to pray the Word. You do that and you're not going to miss it. You are going to stay on track. You know, there's so many times we don't know how to pray about a situation. We don't know what to say. That's why we pray in the Spirit. Again, if you don't believe in that, study our gifts of the Spirit. We need it. As we need it, you know, just as much as the first century needed. It has not been done away with. No more than salvation has been done away with. We need the gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh to accomplish what the Father has called us to accomplish. Again, particularly before you preach or teach or minister. Again, we need to be people of prayer. We need to pray, you know, be continually seeking the Father, drawing close to him. Then learn to follow the leadership of the Ruach HaKodesh within you. He said he will lead and guide you every step of the way. Again, you need to learn his voice. You know, Yeshua said that my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I know his voice within me is a knowing what to do. It's just all of a sudden I'll know what to do. His voice undersees, and again, it's that still quiet spirit. The devil, HaSatan, is a loud mouth. You know, he tries to distract you. He tries to keep you from hearing the small, that soft voice of the Ruach who leads you and guides you. You will find yourself equipped with the answer to any challenge that comes your way. Again, I have found this truth in 48 years of walking with Messiah. Number four, strips away the things of the world. Again, the distractions of the world. Excellent in ministry requires an excellent spirit in every area. This includes the conduct of those who work with you in ministry, as well as the operations of your place of ministry. For example, if your ministry is in your home, determine to have a home that is run with excellence. This means your home will be neat and clean. It'll run in an organized way. There won't be chaos. There will be shalom and peace, and your children will be well behaved. More importantly, you must first determine to have excellence in your own conduct. Be an example. Again, our example is Yeshua. That is our goal. The same is true if you are a pastor or a rabbi of a congregation. Every part of your kahila should operate with excellence. But it isn't right to demand excellence from your staff or congregation if you do not demand excellence in your own conduct. If your ministry is in a secular field, the same is true as well. Strive for excellence. Expect excellence from your staff, in the dealings of your business, and in your conduct. You can't live a sloppy life and have an excellent ministry. Our walk should be the same as it is in our house when nobody is seeing us, when it's in our place of business, when it is our congregation. We should be consistent in our walk in every area that the Father has us to be in. And again, the audio portion, I shared a little different things in, but again, the video, I've had the opportunity to really share the fullness of this particular teaching. Number five, look to the word of God day and night. We already know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So to achieve excellence in ministry, we need to keep our eyes on his word. Again, from the very, very beginning, Genesis, Bereshit, all the way to the end, the book of Revelation. Again, in the narrowest sense, the Torah is the first five books of the Torah. But in the broadest sense, his whole word is his Torah, because Torah means teachings and instructions, the way we should walk. And the prophets in the New Testament are all based on Torah. In fact, I wrote a book, Torah and the Apostolic Scriptures, that is a part of our JSI classes. Again, we need to keep our eye on the word, not on man. It will guide you and keep you on the road to excellence. It will keep you from turning to the right or to the left, or using worldly wisdom to determine the path of your ministry. You know, I see more and more churches going into a worldly atmosphere to attract people. What do you mean by that? I mean by, you walk into the congregation, it's dark except for neon lights and lights flashing on the walls, and smoke machines going, trying to duplicate the presence of the Ruach HaKodesh. Those are all worldly instruments. God does not need you to use a worldly ways to reach people. I felt like I went to this one conference, I felt like I was walking into a bar. It was a conference on outreach. It was actually, you know, from a Christian ministry, but I thought, well, let me hear what they say. You know, so, and again, you walked in there, you felt you were in a bar. It was dark. There was all kinds of light shows going on. You know what? The early believers didn't need that stuff. They walked in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. They had the true presence of Yahweh with them. You know, we don't have to be like the world to attract the world. If you're doing that, then you are not walking in your calling. You are not walking in your anointing. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to your whole body." The word of life and healing, and it stands for excellence in all things. Know who you are in Messiah. I have an extended teaching on that on our website. Exalt the word in your life and ministry, not yourself. Let the word do the work. If there is ever a problem, apply the Father's wisdom to it. Speak and act only on the word. Again, the wisdom of the Ruach HaKodesh, which Dina will be talking about. If you exalt the word, people will be delivered. Again, not exalting yourself, not exalting what your personal ability you think is, but exalting the word. When you exalt the word, then the signs and wonders will follow, the healings will follow, the deliverance will follow, the repentance will follow. In any area of ministry, if there is ever any doubt about which direction you should be headed, look toward the word to direct you. Again, the word and the Ruach walk hand in hand. Put the word first. If you do this, everything else will take care of itself. Again, we need to be daily students of the word, Talmudim. Number six, spend time in fasting. To keep in tune with the Ruach HaKodesh in your ministry, spend time fasting. The spiritual practice of fasting will help you hear from the Father and keep your flesh in line. Remember, fasting doesn't push God into action. It helps you hear from the Father. He is always talking to us, but sometimes our receiver isn't working as it should. Why? Because we're too distracted and thinking about other things. You know, I find this in prayer too. You know, the enemy will try to distract you in your prayer time by, you know, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, it's again, being determined to stay focused. Fasting is a tool that puts it in position to be more spiritually aware and tuned into the Father. Again, if you study the Didache, and I did an in-depth teaching on this, the disciples taught new believers to fast twice a week. I mean, without fail, that was part of their walk, was to fast at least two times a week. A fast will put you in the position to hear from the Father to receive guidance for a specific situation. Remember to keep your fast private and follow Yeshua's guidelines, Matthew 6:16-18. Hypocritical piety will defeat the purpose of a fast. If you publicize your spirituality, you will exchange the reward from God for a reward from men, Matthew 6:5-6:16-18. This is Tree of Life version. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in street corners so that they may be seen of others. Amen, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But you, when you pray, not if you pray twice, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. And whenever you fast, do not become sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they neglect their faces to make their fasting evident to men. Amen, I tell you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. How do you anoint your head? With oil, hallelujah, specifically olive oil, so that your fasting won't be evident to men, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We need to spend time in fasting and submitting our ministries to the leading of the Lord via the Ruach HaKodesh. This will ensure excellence in your ministry every step of the way. Some scriptures. Ezra 7:9-10. He began his aliyah from Babylon on the first day of the first month and entered Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to seek the Torah of Adonai, to observe and to teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. 2 Timothy 15:16, make every effort to present yourself before God, our Father, as tried and true, as an unashamed worker, cutting a straight path with the word of truth. But avoid godless chatter, which is referred to in Hebraic terms as lashon hara, evil speaking, for it will lead to further ungodliness. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Philippians 3:12-15, not that I have already obtained this or have been perfected, but I press on, if only I may take hold of that which Messiah has took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward in what is ahead. And again, Priscilla brings us, you know, a little bit more to light in her teaching. But, you know, again, it's not forgetting where we came from, but not allowing the enemy to bring condemnation, maybe for our mistakes and our stumblings along the way. We keep on going forward. We keep on keeping our eyes on the purpose he has called us to. I think it's important to remember where you came from, but we don't dwell on that. We dwell on where we are going forward to. We press on toward the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. Again, we keep on pressing on. We keep on pressing on. Therefore, let all who are mature have this attitude. And if you have a different attitude in anything, this also God or the Father will reveal to you how, through his word and through the Ruach HaKodesh. 2 Peter, beginning with verse 3-10, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and virtue. Through these things, he has given us his precious and magnificent promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, since you have escaped the corruption that evil desires have brought into the world. Now, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, love, what? The love of Messiah. For if these qualities are in you and increasing, they keep you from becoming idle and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. But anyone who lacks these qualities is blind, nearsighted, because he has forgotten his cleansing from past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make all the more effort to make your calling and election certain. For if you keep doing these things, you will never stumble. Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Again, referring to the Torah doesn't matter, but regarding that the Torah doesn't talk against these things, that these are part of, again, walking in the holiness and the fruit of the Torah, fruit of the Spirit. Now, those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Ruach, let us also walk by the Ruach. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So again, to end these sessions, we need to prepare ourselves via study and biblical education. Again, you have a resource here through the Judaic Studies Institute to help prepare you for the ministry the Father has called you to earn a diploma, certificates, or even a degree if you feel so to pursue that. But again, we need to ask ourselves, am I willing to do what it takes to fulfill my calling? Alvina McKenna, our Father, King, I thank you for every precious woman of God who's listening to these teachings today, Father, who has been discouraged maybe or told they can't do this, they can't do that. May they be built up and lifted up and be what you have called them to be, Father. Mighty women of valor, Father, fulfilling again their call and their purpose and their plan that you have for their life. In Yeshua's name, amen.